as David mentioned when he was speaking with the children, we are still in the season of Epiphany. Today is the third Sunday of Epiphany, where we think about Jesus being made manifest or shown forth. And today, as he begins his public preaching ministry, you hear the words, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And calling, or as many of us believe, recalling the first disciples. Remember, if you were here last Sunday, we had the call as described by John in John's Gospel, Jack preaching, that certainly some of the disciples were followers of John the Baptist who pointed them to Jesus. But that was in Perea by the Jordan. Now he's back up north by Galilee rather than down south. But before I come to that passage, I want to first reflect upon our second reading this morning from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. For it has much to say to us. Written to a first century church in Corinth, but much to say to us as a 21st century church, we still very much need to hear. The background is that the church in Corinth, to whom Paul is writing, was founded by Paul on his second missionary journey, described in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 18. And he spent a year and a half in Corinth, we're told. This is, as was announced, his first letter to the Corinthian church. We have two letters in the New Testament, but many scholars believe, because of mentions of certain things in the text, there may have been four in total. This first letter was written in response to news brought to him in Ephesus. We hear that in the end, very end of the letter, chapter 16, verse 8. News of problems in the church and questions that the church leadership wanted answers to. Some of those who visited were, of course, Chloe's people, as they're described in the reading this morning, who described quarrels, splits, divisions within the Corinthian church. You heard as Stephen read it. "I follow Paul's teaching. I prefer the approach of Apollos." He's got it right. "I follow Peter. After all, he was one of the original 12 disciples. And not a newer upstart." And of course, you have the very pious ones who said, "I follow Christ." There are those today, and I've heard it many times, who pine and say, "He only got back to the way Christians lived and worshipped in the early church, we would be fine." Yet this passage reminds us that problems of splits and divisions in the church, Christian church, are sadly as old as the church itself. And as Paul realised, create great damage to the message of the Christian gospel. Even today, our denominational divisions are not a very good advert for Christianity. I've heard it said to me, and I expect some of you have too, "Why should I believe in Christianity if you lot can't even agree amongst yourselves?" It is wise words. For divisions within a church congregation destroy fellowship and stunt growth, just as they were clearly doing in Corinth. And they can with us, if we foster groups and cliques of different persuasions. I'm quite pleased to say that these days, I don't feel we have this in this congregation. It was somewhat of it when I first came here more than 8 years ago. I have heard it before now, though. "I don't want to be involved with them, or I cannot work with him or her." They should not be. Those words should not be part of our language. I do love Paul's response. He asks a series of rhetorical questions, again, which Stephen read to us. "Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Was Paul crucified for you? Is Christ divided?" And of course, they know the answers. I was smiling to myself, one thing the passage does reveal is that St. Paul didn't keep a baptism register. He couldn't quite remember who he had or hadn't baptized. I assure the family that Sophie's baptism will be recorded in the register after today. But with St. Paul, his words, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. And that's my plea for this congregation here this morning. Forgive me, for I know I've shared this with the congregation before now, but it's words that are easy to remember because they're funny but sad. There is a parody of a verse of the hymn Onward Christian Soldiers, which illustrates what happens when the church has factions and splits. Forgive me if you note. Like a mighty tortoise moves the Church of God. Brothers, we are treading where we've always trod. We are all divided, many bodies we, very strong on doctrine, weak on charity. Onward Christian soldiers marching out to war with the cross of Jesus left behind the door. Funny, but painfully true. And so to the last part of this reading from 1 Corinthians this morning. Paul doesn't want them to lose sight of the cross because it's so central to Christian faith, as St. Paul points out at the end of our reading. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And he has more to say about the cross in the rest of chapter 1, which if you're here next Sunday, you'll hear read. One of the things about this church that we borrow from our Czechoslovakian Evangelical host congregation is it doesn't have a cross in it, which is why we always have our silver one on the altar. Why it doesn't is beyond me, because it's such a powerful symbol. We can focus on the cross, thinking of the God who became incarnate in the person of Jesus, who gives himself, is put to death on a cross to bring about reconciliation, forgiveness, and healing. In one sense, it is totally foolish. But for all who will believe, who have faith, put their trust in God in Christ, it is the power of God by which we are saved, as St. Paul says here, as we sang in that previous hymn. That is the message we are called upon to proclaim, without divisions, resulting in the cross of Jesus being hidden, being left behind the door in that parable, rather than, as it should be, going on before us, that message of the cross and the reconciliation to God that Christ brings through his death. And so too, the gospel passage this morning. The call of four of the 12 fishermen, four of the 12 disciples, fishermen, who were called by Jesus to follow me, and I will make you fish for people. It's, of course, it's the New Revised Standard Version, very inclusive language. Many of us older ones, of course, know the theme, fish for men. But it is, of course, relating to men and women. The call to follow Jesus, to be part of his church, to which, of course, we shall welcome one little new member this morning, includes not only us following Jesus, but actively encouraging others to do so as well, to fish for people, as Jesus puts it. Anglicans in particular, and even many other Christians, often find it very difficult to talk about or share their faith. My faith is private to me, between me and God. Well, yes, it is part of a relationship between us and God. But imagine for a moment if those four first disciples, Peter, Andrew, James and John, had kept Jesus' example and teaching to themselves. Would the Christian faith have ever spread in the manner that it did, right across the Roman Empire in 30 to 40 years? I think we all know the answer to the question. No, it wouldn't. Jesus still calls us, his church, to fish for people, to make the love and forgiveness of God expressed in the proclamation of the cross, to make that known. We are only just into this new year of 2017. Will I commit ourselves to both follow Jesus, as the parents and godparents will commit themselves this morning, and part of that, invite others to join you in worship and share your own faith journey with them. And now, again, I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Most research shows that the way most people come to Christian faith is through being invited to church and brought to church by a fellow worshipper, and by that person sharing their own faith story, their own faith journey, how they came to know Christ, how they came to Christian faith, with that friend or relative. May we be a united church where the cross is central, where we all follow Jesus, and where we encourage many more men and women to do the same. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.